If I may now call on Oleg Shamshur, the Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs of Ukraine. Please, sir.
So, dear Director, Madam Secretary, ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad to have the privilege of addressing this distinguished audience due to the kind invitation of the New Atlantic Initiative. And I would like to say that I'm especially pleased to see some old colleagues with whom we've discussed this issue of Ukraine's place in Europe and Euro-Atlantic community for quite some time. And I'm quite glad that we have a chance to discuss this issue in an entirely different context. Quite understandably, under the circumstances, it hasn't been too easy for me to take the decision to come to the conference because too many crucial things are being decided back home right now. For the very same reason, however, I thought it's important to be here with you today. The recent developments in Ukraine have underscored the relevance of the topics put on the conference's agenda. It should be also acknowledged that they present only a part of a long list of problems Ukrainian society is trying to find the answer to at this challenging period of its history. Critical mass of the democratic transformations that has been accumulating within the Ukrainian society for so long has finally manifested itself in an open and quite unequivocal manner. The drama of the Ukrainian election is still unfolding. Major challenges lie ahead, but some, albeit preliminary, conclusions could be drawn. First of all, the contents of those events, as well as the keen attention they have commanded, in my view, have become yet another confirmation of an important, if not a unique, place occupied by this country within the Euro-Atlantic area. Maybe for the first time since Ukraine gaining independence, news from Ukraine have been forming the front pages and prime time of the international mass media. With a mixed feeling of bewilderment, concern, and admiration, the whole world has been watching coming of age of the Ukrainian political nation. Confronted with rather difficult circumstances due to the tense political struggle, massive irregularities and direct fraud in the course of the election campaign, Ukrainian society and institutions have been passing their test for democracy. Many Ukrainians have exercised their right to defend their views in a peaceful but quite persuasive way. The voices of discontent have been heard. Opinions that they have expressed at different fora form the basis for significant decisions taken by the different branches of the state power. Within this context, I will single out the ruling of the Supreme Court of Ukraine, denouncing the decision of the Central Election Committee on the outcome of the second round of election. It has established a legal foundation indispensable for the completion of the election process in a free, fair, and dignified manner. It should be stressed that the court referred to in its ruling to the European Convention on Human Rights and other fundamental international treaties to emphasize protection of human rights and freedoms as the highest democratic values. I believe that the role played by the courts of law of all levels throughout the election campaign has proved that the process of consolidation of the independence of the judiciary and the rule of law in Ukraine is well underway. Encouraging, although not without the setbacks, changes are taking place in the Ukrainian mass media. The majority of them are presently giving to the Ukrainian public accurate and multifaceted picture of the current events. On the other hand, this campaign has brought to light the existence of the rather large segment of the media ready to stimulate and cultivate prejudice and misconceptions, often of xenophobic, anti-Western character, present in the collective consciousness of the sizable, as it has appeared, segment of the population. I think that we in Ukraine should give the most serious consideration to this problem. These manifestations run contrary to the tradition of tolerance deeply rooted in the modern Ukrainian society. Ukrainians can be proud that political debate, even in the period of crisis, has been conducted by using exclusively peaceful means. Latest decisions of the Verkhovna Rada is another proof of this trend. At the same time, no one should forget that the Ukrainian people is the main party and the actor in the process of reform. Thus, no agreement can last if the will of the people for the qualitative changes is ignored. Dear colleagues, let me refer to the title of the conference. It poses, in my opinion, a bit bluntly, and Mr. Sikorski already addressed this issue, the question of the direction of Ukraine's further development in many senses, geopolitical, foreign policy one, but no less important in more general terms, as to the choice of the model of the societal development. This issue was quite salient during the present presidential campaign. Initially, it should be recognized that debate hasn't been too much about the foreign policy issues or choices. Major contenders were running on the pro-European, at least formally pro-European platform, while stressing necessity to develop relations with Russia, though intensity, credibility, and substance of their thematic pronouncements differed, and not infrequently, practical steps were not that consistent. Quite significantly, the later stages of campaigning were marked by the proliferation of the publicity with anti-Western overtones. This was accompanied by the attempts to reduce the current political crisis to the East-West confrontation, the chasm between Western and Eastern Ukraine, followed by extremely dangerous encroachments on the territorial integrity of Ukraine. I'd like to use this opportunity to stress that we must not disregard separatist sentiments surging in some parts of Ukraine, notwithstanding that they are, in my view, of mostly situational character and are generated by the election contest. The separatist speculations have to be seized immediately and resolutely. Perpetrators are to be held responsible for their appeals and actions. We count on the support of our international partners, whom we expect to make every effort to prevent providing any external support to such activities. In my opinion, the latest developments in Ukraine are about the choice, but they are definitely not about the choice with confrontational connotations and emergence of dividing lines. They are, first of all, about the choice between free election and fraud, democracy and double or dubious standards, active participation in social life and social indifference. They have brought an issue of the model of the societal development to the fore of public attention. Now it's more evident than ever that for Ukraine, the strategy for success means completion of the process of political and economic reforms leading to the achievement of the highest democratic norms in social life. Efficient system of governance, rule of law, creation of the full-fledged market economy, which should be sustainable and competitive internationally, ensuring corresponding living standards to the population. All those components constitute the core of the policy that we call the European choice, or the policy of the European integration, which is for us the choice of the civilizational proportions. Now we have an exceptional chance to bring fresh wind into the sails of our movement towards this goal. It's important to stress that in Ukraine there is an ever-growing awareness that no one but us can do the job of building democratic and prosperous Ukraine. We want to see and to live in accordance with the principles I've just mentioned. Time needed for the successful completion of this endeavor will depend predominantly, but not exclusively, upon the internal factors. At the same time, position taken by our partners and their will to provide political backup and systematic assistance are of key importance in this respect. Positive message and tangible support has never been more important now. Continuation of the business as usual approach would be in no one's interest. More generally, both Ukraine and enlarged Europe have been facing a challenging task of determining realistic, forward-looking, and more efficient model of their relationship, allowing for the constructive cooperation on the current basis and prompt resolution of emerging problems and disputes. This daily routine shouldn't obscure the final objective, no matter how distant it may look now for many, Ukraine's integration into the European Union. Post-enlargement fatigue cannot serve as an excuse for the absence of the coherent EU policy towards Ukraine. With the further development of the democratic process in Ukraine, EU should depart from the usual policy of benign or not so benign neglect. Keeping Ukraine at the margins of the integration processes in Europe should be replaced with an active encouragement and engagement of Ukraine, maintaining with it a truly strategic dialogue. Its seriousness and substance will also very much depend on the clearly stated open door policy. Its absence will be no less conspicuous. I have no doubt that integration into the Euro-Atlantic structures have been and will remain one of Ukraine's foreign policy strategic objectives. Taking into account realities of the current security situation and the fact that the NATO and EU are being largely perceived in Ukraine as guarantors of stability in Europe. Success of the latest NATO enlargement, experience of the applicant countries, has played the role of the stimulus for our own integration endeavors. I would mention two lessons that we received and perceived from enlargement. Firstly, possession of the powerful armed forces is not sufficient to qualify. Shared values count not less. And secondly, no significant movement ahead can be achieved without concerted actions of all state actors involved. Ukraine's claim for the membership should be well substantiated. Like in our relationship with EU, we are putting on the agenda the issue of upgrading its framework. Its specific form will be defined in consultation with our partners. One thing is, though, quite clear. It should correspond to the level already achieved in our relationship with the NATO and take into account noticeable progress in many critical areas and domains of the NATO-Ukraine cooperation. Not willing to prejudice or influence debate, I would like to address the question of conjunction, which is present in the title of the conference. Should we be using conjunction or while speaking about Ukraine's relationship with Europe and Russia? The answer to this question cannot be simple, almost by definition. I would argue that the answer might be positive when we speak about societal choices and prospective security choices. I believe that Ukraine is on its way to confirm its truly and unmistakably European identity. Conversely, we should be thinking of rather both and construction when speaking about developing comprehensive bilateral relations. Our relations with Russia are too important for both countries, their economies, their peoples, but they're also important for Europe, especially for its stability and security. A democratic, stable, and prosperous Ukraine will make significant contribution to the prosperity and stability of the whole of Europe, and especially to its close neighborhood, speeding up reunification of Europe without dividing lines. At the same time, it won't be redundant to reiterate an old and obvious truth. To be truly constructive, Ukrainian-Russian relations, as our relations with any other agent of international relations, should be based upon unswerving adherence to such fundamental principles as mutual respect, equality, non-interference in internal affairs. This is especially important during the periods of historic change when many things are at stake, including the future of the interstate relations. We value friendly advice, we value international mediation from the West and from the East, but we also value restraint. The final and thoroughly democratic settlement of the current situation, future direction of this country's development, can and will be determined by Ukrainians and Ukrainian people itself. To witness history being made by people is really a fascinating feeling. I wish you the most interesting and stimulating session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I declare the conference open. And I asked our first moderator, Don Jensen, and the participants, if you could please take your seats. We shall examine Ukraine's economy converging with the European Union or with the common economic space. But I think in the light of recent events, we also should give the reformers some advice on how to overcome what may be a challenging period. Even with the enthusiasm on the streets now, we know from experience that whoever takes charge will only have a few months to start showing results. And if those results do not come through, then trouble ahead is certain.